Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company. Delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's Best Sports Talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. SEC Media Days are over in Hoover, and there was almost literally no important news out of SEC Media Days until...
until we had a fun little kicker.
Until yesterday, in what looked like was going to just tear apart the college football landscape. And it still looks like it might. And that was the rumor that Texas and Oklahoma were lobbying to get into the SEC. Now, Joe Rexroad brought this up this morning, and I think Joe was spot on. And unlike Joe, I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to go the whole day without talking about Joe. Joe today was talking about how that he was going to try to go the whole show without talking about me, and then at 8:40 he couldn't help himself. But that's neither here nor there. So Joe said it's not an accident that the news broke on A&M's day by A&M's beat writer with A&M's coach and athletic director at SEC Media Days.
It's probably fair.
I don't know how many athletic directors travel to Media Day. And I don't mean that as like a nobody does it and Ross Bjork just happened to be there. I don't know. I don't know if all the athletic directors go or don't go. I mean, I've been around Media Days for the last 10 years. And I can't remember talking to an athletic director at Conference Media Days, but Ross Bjork was there. And I thought this time yesterday when I heard this rumor, I thought, A&M will never let that happen. And A&M, Ross Bjork, to that point, basically said over my dead body when it came to what do you think about Texas going into the SEC. But then we heard the SEC didn't shoot it down, Texas didn't shoot it down, Oklahoma didn't shoot it down. The only person who released a statement against Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC was Oklahoma State. They are against it. Well, of course
obviously,
they're against it. So, I'm trying to read the tea leaves. And there was one guy whose opinion I wanted to hear. And it's not because I think he's the smartest college football guy in the world. It's not because I think that he's a beat reporter that gets everything. But I wanted to hear what Paul Feinbaum had to say. Because at the end of the day, there are three people involved in this. Forget about Oklahoma. Move them off to the side. To me, it's Texas. It's the SEC. It's ESPN. Those are the three people that matter in this. Because there's no CBS anymore as far as the SEC's rights are concerned. They are all with ABC ESPN. And there is nobody who I think is more connected with the real power players of the SEC and the power players of ESPN's college sports division than Paul Feinbaum.
When you say the SEC, do you mean each individual school or do you mean the SEC as a whole?
Sankey represents the 14 chancellors. So I think he knows, and Sankey is a politician. I love Sankey, and he likes me, but he's a politician. Like he is, we've compared the power brokers of college football to, political parties here. Mm-hmm. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
And here's what Feinbaum said about Texas and the desire for the SEC. Take a listen.
How much do you think the SEC would really want Texas and Oklahoma to actually join the conference?
I think they would want them for a couple of reasons. And the first is the most obvious. They don't want them going anywhere else. I mean, the SEC became the biggest guy on the street because they went out and picked very well, and they have such a serious and passionate fan base. But if you're the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, do you want Texas and Oklahoma going to the Big Ten or the ACC or someone else and suddenly start challenging your position as king of the hill? So I think that's a big motivating factor. Another thing is television. I know that sounds strange on a program like this, but the SEC is about to enter into one of the biggest television deals with ESPN. The college football playoff expansion is on the table. So I think the SEC is sitting here. They got the call. They thought about it. And I think this thing is pretty far down the track.
Okay. Paul Feinbaum said he thinks the SEC wants Texas and he thinks the things down the track. And the two things he referenced as far as why they'd want him, well, I think the SEC wants him, and I think TV wants him, and Feinbaum is the one guy who's got a direct line to the most important people in the two elements. He's got a direct line to Sankey. He's got a direct line to the top of ESPN. And because of that, him saying this is on down the road, I think he's right. I think Texas and Oklahoma are headed to the SEC. Yesterday, I didn't think there was a chance. I thought A&M was going to get in there and say, absolutely not. X, see ya, goodbye. Just like my fear when it comes to Nashville getting a Major League Baseball team, that I fear the Atlanta Braves are going to step in there and say, nope, we're not doing it. And if the Atlanta Braves say that, I don't know if we'll get a team. I don't think we'll ever get an NBA team because I think the Memphis Grizzlies would say absolutely not. And those guys carry weight. A&M does not want Texas in the SEC. Yesterday, I thought that was a big deal. Now, Paul Feinbaum says it's on down the road. I think Texas and Oklahoma are headed to the SEC.
I disagree.
Why?
For a couple reasons. First and foremost, Paul Feinbaum has a show on the SEC network where he talks about SEC football. There is nothing to talk about other than preseason predictions, NIL for the next month.
Sure. And Feinbaum will tweet out things. Like, he'll tweet out things like, what SEC player do you think could play another sport? You know, because they got nothing to talk about on that show sometimes, and then they just get all the callers to call in.
So, if, I mean, him hyping this up as something that could potentially happen, something that he says is far along in the tracks, then that's interesting. That gives you something to talk about for the next week or so. So that makes his show more interesting, and that makes people more interested in the show. I'm not saying that Paul Feinbaum's just making something up.
Sure.
But that makes his show a lot more intriguing if you're talking about adding two big players into the SEC.
But don't you think Feinbaum, like, if Feinbaum were to come out and say, absolutely not, then that's kind of the shtick of the show, you know, the...
No, because I think that a lot of people in the SEC are saying, absolutely not. So I think that him saying, oh, yeah, it's more far along than you'd think. Well, how far along do I think it is? So him saying that it's a possibility, it's far along, it's on in the tracks, then that makes people... People will call in with questions.
But
what does it look like?
You don't hold Feinbaum. And when I say credentials, I don't mean like, you know, the typical, you don't trust his credentials to be the best reporter. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's got a direct line to the SEC. Those networks, and you know this just as well as I do,
mm-hmm.
They don't care about ratings on the SEC network. They don't care about ratings on the ACC network. They care what the conferences want. So if the conference wants, you know, if the ACC wants Stillman and Company to be simulcast on the network, and they go to ESPN and say, hey, we want this show in Nashville that talks about the hockey team put on there, then the ACC network would do it. ESPN wouldn't care. They do it because they'll do whatever the ACC wants for that network. Same with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Feinbaum is there because of the SEC. Like, he's there because of Mike Slive, and you hear when he brings Slive and Sankey on there. Obviously, Slive is no longer with us. May he rest in peace. Great guy. But, you know, there's butt-kissing that goes on when Sankey goes on there because it's his network.
Right.
Feinbaum's connected at ESPN as far as the TV thing's concerned. You know, what TV wants, what they... Remember a couple of weeks ago, Feinbaum came out just against the 12-team playoff and said it was ridiculous and it was dumb, but they were going to do it. And then once it started to get rolling, he said, I think this is great for college football. Or I'm paraphrasing, but there was a very discernible flip-flop. I think Feinbaum is so connected at that level. You ask me a Pac-12 question, I don't give one poop what Feinbaum says about it. But when you're talking about administrative stuff that involves three people, Texas, ESPN, and the SEC, I think Feinbaum is as connected to anybody that would know about those three at one time. And I think he's telling you it's going to happen.
I'm still not sold about it for another reason. There was an ESPN article that was released today, and R. Bowen Lofton, who was the president of Texas A&M when they made that move to the SEC, He said there is this understanding among the membership, at least it was 10 years ago, whenever Texas A&M moved to the SEC, that you don't admit a school from the same state as a member school unless that member school is okay with it. We talked about it from time to time among ourselves, that this was the way it was going to be, that if we had another school in Texas wanting to enter the SEC, Texas A&M would have veto power. Now, this is what they call a gentleman's agreement, that if that state does not want another school from that state, that's all they need to say is yes or no. So Texas A&M, according to this quote-unquote gentleman's agreement that they made when Texas A&M and Missouri entered the SEC, that Texas A&M, if they say no, it's a no. And I know that we heard Texas A&M's athletic director kind of step back these comments yesterday saying, you know, if the SEC is pushing it, you know, we want to be at the forefront of college football. Interpret that as you may. I think that this is kind of going back and saying, no, Texas A&M says no, so Texas is a no.
You think A&M has the juice to keep that from happening? Because that's what this comes down to.
Yeah, because this goes deeper. Texas A&M Texas goes deep.
Have you seen how we appoint Supreme Court justices in America? You know, it's on one time, it's, hey, you know what? We need to let the American people decide. The next time it's, let's run this through faster than we can because we got an election we don't want to lose. You know what I mean? It's like it flip-flops depending upon who's making the rules. I get the gentleman's agreement that A&M came to the table with the SEC and said, hey, we want this rule in here. And the SEC said, well, you know what? We'll do it. Fine. But we're not going to put it in writing. And now that it's not in writing, I can see the SEC saying, well, you know, we said that then, but now we care.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
What do you think? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If Feinbaum says it's on down the road, I think it's on down the road. Now, can A&M block Texas from actually getting in? The answer is yes. We'll explain how next. And do we think they can pull it off? 615-737-1025. Fitz will join us later this hour as well. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Interact with Stillman & Company. Call or text the show at 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
This is going to be like the Bing Bang. It is so big for this reason, Ryan. Not only is it big if it happens for the SEC, but it affects every other conference. You know, where is the Big 12 without its two bell cows? I know what you just said from Oklahoma State, but they're not going to hold up. The Big 12 by themselves or with Texas Tech or anyone else other than the two we're talking about. It affects the ACC. It affects the Big 10 because what it means is expansion is back on the table. And 10 years ago, it was like the California gold rush when Texas originally started talking to the Pac-12 and was going to take a couple of schools with that. As a result, you saw expansion in every league. So if the SEC goes to 16, the Big Ten's not going to sit there at 14. The ACC is not going to do that, nor is the Pac-10. So we are. We thought June was the wildest month in recent college sports history with NIL. Get ready. This is going to be crazier.
There you go. This is what I think. I think you're going to see cherry picking. This is the new Big East. If the Big 12, if Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, which I think they will, because Paul Feinbaum thinks it's on down the road, and if Paul Feinbaum thinks it's on down the road, I think he knows who makes those decisions. Now, the second part is what happens. I think the Pac-12 or the Big 12 will cherry pick, or Big 10 will cherry pick a couple of teams, and then you're left with a bunch of nobodies. And I think that will be like what happened to the Big East becoming the AAC. That's what will happen to the Big 12. Now, in order for A&M to stand in the way and to keep this from happening, they need three other member schools to vote against it. Now, I think Missouri is pretty hard line out. Mm-hmm. Who are the other two schools that want them out? Because that's what they got to figure out, is who are the other two schools that want them out. Now, somebody texted me and said, you know, would Florida be okay if Florida State got in, or would South Carolina be okay if Clemson got in, which goes back to your gentleman's agreement theory. I think they could live with it, honestly, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. So in that same article, they pointed out that the three states with two schools in those states, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama, no other, they are original SEC members. No other school that has been added to the SEC later on in expansion has added another school.
But you and I have talked about it. It's always about getting more TV markets. So I always thought if the SEC expanded, it would be into North Carolina or to Virginia, and then the ACC signed the grant of rights. They only get Oklahoma, which is a tiny TV market when all is said and done, but it is a powerful football program. I mean, I think the money is going to be so right with Texas and the premium dates that you would add, you know, Oklahoma, Georgia football, like those kind of games, that I think the league, I think A&M, until we get to the semantics of how to structure it, which we'll get into, but until we get into those semantics, I think the league is going to have, I think A&M is going to have a hard time finding three other dance partners to keep Texas out.
Well, they already have Missouri.
We think.
I feel that Missouri is pretty adamant and not about not adding Texas and Oklahoma because Texas A&M and Missouri came in together from the Big 12. So I think that Missouri would be like, yeah, no, we got you. I think it also depends on the restructure of the conference. If I know Ross Dellinger and the SEC Network put out the possible pods that the new SEC would look like if Texas and Oklahoma joined. I think that depends on it because if there is a school in there that
like we saw the pods today, the SEC Network put out the pods. It's Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Alabama.
Or is that how it would be?
I mean, I think my guess is the league network would have some insight. But it could be just spitballing. But again, the pods were the specific pod was Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Vandy. Well, I know
Tennessee
two schools that are saying no to
not be okay with
and
that.
And now you have your two dance partners. So that's going to be another element to all of this. Let's get to your phone, 615-737-1025. Jason Fitz, ESPN, will join us later this hour. Bryce is going to kick us off. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Bryce?
Hey, how you doing, Jared? I think Paul Feinbaum is absolutely correct. I have no problem with Texas joining the SEC. Fact of it doesn't matter who says what. At the end of the day, money controls it, like you were just saying, kind of, sort of. Money's going to control it because of the TV deals. So at the end of the day, bring them on. Let's get some more money, you know. And then also, I really don't care, and I'm pretty sure you'll disagree with me on this, but I really don't care about SEC and all that, the different categories in football, the same as I don't care about it for divisions in basketball, because really only the conference matters. I don't really care about East, West, you know, in basketball. But anyways, I'll hang up and listen. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Thanks, Bryce. Well, yes, except that A&M, for A&M, this is about pride. You know, this is, A&M felt like the Big 12 got on their knees for Texas, which they did in 2010, and A&M was like, you're not going to treat Texas better than you treat us. We're out of here. And since then, A&M's had a glow up, and they are enjoying that feeling over Texas, and they now no longer want Texas on equal footing with them. And as we said yesterday, A&M people are very prideful. I mean, they are very, very prideful. I think if you're Tennessee and you get thrown into a pod where now not only do you have to play Alabama every year, but now you have to play Auburn every year, you're not going to like that.
No.
And somebody's not going to like it, so you're going to have to concede something. Like, I think you're going to have to convince Kentucky or convince South Carolina or convince somebody to do something they don't want to do. Maybe Vandy's an easy school to get to convince to do something you don't want to do. I don't know. But that's going to be a non-starter. And if there are already two teams against it, then whatever you do, you're probably going to get two teams that also don't like it. So that's going to be a problem they're going to have to address.
And what you brought up earlier about South Carolina and Florida, I think if South Carolina and Florida would be on board for Oklahoma and Texas, then they would also have to bring up the fact, okay, about what about expansion in the future?
Sure.
If Clemson and Florida State want to join the SEC, are you okay with that? Because if you're not, then you cannot vote for Texas and Oklahoma to come in the SEC. Because then we'll turn right around and vote for Clemson and Florida State to join the SEC, even though you don't like it.
Especially
to us.
Especially if A&M joined under the agreement,
yes,
the gentleman's agreement, that you would not put in Texas without us being okay with it.
Right.
Patrick is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I agree with Paul Feinbaum as well, because when you look at it, it's really a power grab and a money grab. Texas is the biggest college franchise and the second biggest national franchise throughout any sport. There's so much money to be made right there that it's ridiculous. And then the power-wise is that the SEC will be permanently the main conference for football, permanently. Nothing's going to change that, because the Big Ten can't get anyone comparable to that afterwards. And then you add in ESPN will be able to kick out CBS out of it when it comes to college football, and Fox will take a L with basically how their contract, the Big 12, plays out, because the Big 12 is done now.
Well, so what's going to happen, Patrick, thank you for your call. Fox is basically, the Big Ten is going to raid the other teams of the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
So the Big Ten is going to get Kansas. Big Ten is going to get somebody, not the Kansas.
I think Fox would love it.
Fox will figure it out. The other big player in this is Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame becomes a huge player, because if the Big Ten can get Notre Dame or the ACC can get Notre Dame, then that's on par with Texas. I mean, Texas, in my opinion, is probably fourth when it comes to, you know, the biggest impact in college football, and as of right now. And these things fluctuate. This is not a, it doesn't change by the week, but it changes probably by every 5 years or so. I think it's Ohio State 1, Notre Dame 2, Alabama 3, Texas 4. That's how I think the structure of college football is right now. That doesn't mean Texas can't get back kind of to that standard. Fitz is going to join us next. He works at ESPN. What does he know about all this? Heard him on ESPN on the morning show this morning. 615-737-1025. Jason Fitz will join us. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I love those guys. They take great care of my home, and I promise you that they can take great care of your home. Hiller is celebrating the home of the free all July long with special deals for customers. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems, and their work, and again, I can vouch for this because I'm a Hiller customer myself, their work is backed by the happy you'll be or the service is free guarantee. These deals are only happening in July, so customers have to call as soon as possible. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Somebody tweeted me and said, as a lifelong Vanderbilt football fan, we should definitely join Texas A&M in blocking Texas and Oklahoma from joining the SEC. I mean, if I'm these SEC schools, now Texas is representing big money, but I make Texas sweat a little bit. Make Texas, I don't care if Texas goes to the ACC. Am I supposed to care? Now, I do care if they go to the Big Ten, because the Big Ten, this is like a little known fact around the South. That, and when I say little known fact, mm-hmm, I mean it's very seldom known around the South. The Big Ten makes more money off TV than the SEC does.
Yes. And Big Noon Kickoff, their pregame show, Fox's pregame show, does better than the SEC's pregame show and College Game Day.
Now, in all fairness to that, I don't think Big Noon Sunday does better than College Game Day.
Some weeks last year, yes.
Now, that's on broadcast TV, and ESPN's obviously cable. So that's a little bit of a drop.
Yes.
And ESPN is somewhat cannibalizing itself with its SEC pregame show. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the SEC Network pregame show sucks, and one of my buddies is on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think it stinks. Tebow stinks.
Well, then don't be on it.
I'm not on it.
Good.
But, I mean, I think they could do better. Like, I think it could be more interesting. It's just very. What's our text line say? 615-737-1025. We're working to connect with Jason Fitz, ESPN. What do we have on the text line?
One texter texts in and says, if this happens, 2 8-team divisions is best. Alabama and Auburn move to the east. The league adds one more conference game.
Okay, say that again.
So if this does happen, two
Alabama eight. And Auburn. Moved
Alabama
to the east.
And Auburn moved to the east. Okay. Texas and Oklahoma fit in the west in Alabama and Auburn's spot. And then the league adds one more conference game.
I know seven teams that have now voted against this.
Every team
yes,
in the
Florida,
east.
Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vandy. So that's six. Six teams. Am I missing somebody? Missouri's already voting against
Missouri's
it.
A no.
So now I got seven A&M's.
And then A&M's, yeah.
No shot. There's no shot they're going to allow that. They are not. Alabama is staying in the West because LSU wants to play Alabama. And
well, they still could. Because if you move Alabama and Auburn, then Alabama's out-of-conference game could be LSU rather than Tennessee. So now Alabama and Tennessee are in the same side of the
sure.
SEC.
What you're saying is that they're just no more Mississippi games, basically, and Arkansas games.
Correct.
Yeah. You think Kentucky's voting for that?
I wouldn't.
You think Florida is voting for that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that. I mean, you're under your logic, Auburn would have to move to the east.
Auburn has to move to the east.
Which I don't think would work.
Why?
Because then Alabama and Auburn become an out-of-conference game.
Yeah, intra-division.
Yes, out-of-division game.
Sure.
And so then Alabama and Auburn, or Alabama and Tennessee would also be an out-of-conference game yearly. You can't do that. You only have one permanent out-of-division game.
You think Tennessee votes against that idea?
You think Tennessee votes against playing Alabama? Yeah, because they make money.
No, I think Tennessee. Yeah. I think Tennessee totally is okay with that.
I mean, I think it's the same logic of adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC is it makes money. Tennessee and the Alabama game makes money.
But who does it make? How?
What do you mean? Alabama coming to Knoxville? You don't think that puts butts in seats?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that selling tickets in the SEC is like selling tickets has never been Tennessee's problem. Like, Tennessee never looks at their issue and says, you know, we just need more people to buy season tickets to be fans at UT. Like, they don't ever have that problem.
Well, I'm fully aware Tennessee has way bigger problems than that.
So, but to me, the issue is...
But if selling tickets in the SEC isn't a problem, then why are you adding two more teams?
Tennessee doesn't want... They're not trying to sell tickets. It's all about
TV. They're
trying
to make money. Yeah.
But you make money from TV, you'll make money... I'll say it to you like this. Every time we have the discussion about a Major League Baseball team in Nashville, people are like, I just don't know if enough people would go to the game. I just don't know. And I think to myself, guys, you ever watched a baseball game with two teams that aren't in contention? There's nobody in the stands. I went to a Marlins game literally 2 weeks ago, and there's nobody there. I told you when we walked into the stadium, you wouldn't even know from the outside of the stadium that there was a game going on inside the stadium. Nobody goes and watches the Marlins. And yet, where do they make all this money? TV. These are billion-dollar TV businesses. Fans are just extras. The NFL just played an entire season without fans, and it lost like one-fifth or one-sixth of its revenue. And so fans don't really, like the seats, selling seats don't matter when we're talking about this magnitude of an addition in Texas and Oklahoma. I think Tennessee would vote for not playing Alabama every year, so they just don't have to play Alabama every year.
That's so weak.
So they wouldn't get beat by Alabama every year.
I think that's so weak.
I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair that Tennessee has to play Alabama every year.
Why?
Because Florida doesn't. Because Georgia doesn't.
Well, because Florida has to play LSU every... I mean, everyone has a cross-divisional rival.
Sure. But it becomes an issue when Ole Miss and Alabama are fighting for the SEC West and one team gets to play Vandy. Like, that becomes an issue.
Well, that's just the way that the conference works. And
okay, so now we're just changing the way the conference works.
I don't think it works that way.
Why?
With the way that it currently works, you will uproot it.
You know that there was a point in time where the SEC did not have divisions.
I am fully aware of that.
Okay,
yes.
Then they changed how the conference worked. There was a point in time where Tulane and Georgia Tech and Swanee were all in the SEC. Do you even know where Swanee is?
Yes.
Where?
It's in Spring Hill.
Swanee?
Or it's in Swanee, right?
I mean, I guess technically you're right, but it's like Swanee is the University of the South. It's like you go past Mont Eagle, you're like all
okay,
the way
keep going. But make your point.
My point is that they change how these things operate. The Big Ten totally changed how they do their season in the middle of it last year to allow Ohio State to go into the conference championship game. The traditions of college football change all the time. And every time it happens, somebody goes, oh, how can you change that tradition? And then after about 5 minutes, everybody forgets about it. I mean, even in baseball, they have not had one time in the history of baseball has an all-star team worn a National League or American League jersey. In the 30s, they wore a National League jersey. Ever since then, it's always been everybody wearing their jerseys in the All-Star game. Did you watch the All-Star game last week? No unique jerseys, which, by the way, was stupid.
Yeah.
But people are okay with throwing away tradition sometimes. And I think
when it makes sense, change is necessary. That's the problem with baseball. It needs to change and it isn't changing. But I think when you change too much, that's when people stop buying in.
Are you watching college football? You have a 12-team playoff. Like, they're not the tradition of college football's over anyways. They got a 12-team playoff. You know that, like,
we did not have a 12-team playoff.
You know, like, back in
the
day.
It's a conversation. It's not happening.
It's done. You know, back in the day, there used to be multiple national championships?
Yes.
You do know that in 1951, Tennessee and Kentucky both claimed the 1951 championship.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. That was a tradition. The Rose Bowl, as the granddaddy of them all, is a tradition, and they want to play on January 1st every day. And in this next cycle, the college football playoff is going to tell the Rose Bowl game, either you're in or you're out, but you can't have both. And I bet the Rose Bowl game is going to go in, and we might see a Rose Bowl on December 30th or December 29th or something like that. Because tradition has taken a backseat in college football to money. And winning matters and money matters. And I think in this case, Tennessee would look at it and say, we don't have to play Alabama every year. And not only do we not have to play Alabama, but we're also raking in a bunch more money. At the end of the day, I think they'd be cool with it. Now, you'd have to talk to Alabama about that. But since Saban is the I'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime, any game kind of thing, and he's not worried about the coach after him because that's not his problem, I'm sure he wouldn't mind making this switch. And then he has to play Texas or Oklahoma once a year instead of playing Tennessee. I think he'd be okay with it.
I hear you. I know that it's a money.
I mean, you're losing the oldest rivalry in the SEC if you do this.
Yes.
Because you're losing Georgia Auburn. So that is the oldest rivalry.
Why would you lose Georgia Auburn?
Because if Auburn goes, oh no, they stay in the East.
They stay in the East.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not losing that. So you're not losing the oldest rivalry in the history of the SEC. I think everybody would be on board with it. Moving Auburn to the East and having them cross over with Alabama. I think Tennessee would be okay with it. I think Alabama would be okay with it. I think ESPN would be okay with it. And honestly, I think that's all who really matters.
I want to know what Tennessee fans think about not playing Alabama every year. And I know, like, on, like, a surface level, like, you would think, oh, yeah, I'm sure Tennessee fans would be totally fine not getting their butts whooped by Alabama every year. But I want to know how they feel about it.
Calls and text, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The one thing I'll say about fans, they'll get over it. That's
fans?
Been kind of a, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone was up in arms about Texas A&M and Missouri joining the SEC.
I mean, Notre Dame played in a conference last year. Notre Dame had a conference logo on their
uniform. Last year was also a global pandemic. Weirder things happened than Notre Dame joining a conference.
10 years from now, Notre Dame in the conference. I would assume ACC.
ACC
but is Notre Dame in a conference 10 years from now? Yes or no?
I lean yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on now.
I lean yes.
The beginning of last year, there was a total cry that I didn't even know about. Like a total cry when Nike put the swoosh on the Yankees uniform because there had been no alterations to the Yankees uniform. Nah, they got over it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're back to your reaction next. Stillman and Company, we are live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. I'm not even sure how much I like the shock value of hearing those two teams there. That matters to me. And then figuring out who goes where and how they do it, that matters to me. But if you're going to just do it, then just do it. And I think I'm okay with it after that. Just fine. Just fine. Just go do it. That's fine. What is our phone lines? Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. What do we have in there?
One texter texts in and says, fans won't like this if you tell us SEC fans that a game like Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Florida, UT won't be played annually. We don't want it. And it depends on how the SEC would be restructured.
Okay, so how? Like, this is the question. Every time there's been a conference realignment, there have been big rivalries or things that have changed. For example, and I'll use one that I remember. Louisville and Kentucky used to play the first game every season. It's called the Governor's Cup. And they used to play the first game every season. And it was like, I remember my first game as a college student at Louisville was against Kentucky. Now we got our rear end spanked, which is embarrassing to say. We got our rear end spanked, but it was against Kentucky. And that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal to us that every year we'd open at home or on the road against Kentucky. And then Louisville joined the ACC. And the ACC said, you guys are playing at the end of the year when Clemson plays South Carolina, when Florida plays Florida State, when Georgia plays Georgia Tech. We've decided you're playing at the end of the year. Now, that could have been ESPN's doing. That could have been, I think that they did that for the SEC network. I think they targeted, you know, each state and said, okay, with the different cable providers, okay, Comcast, you don't want to put on the SEC network, then we're putting Georgia Tech on the SEC network, and now nobody in Atlanta can get it. Well, now you're going to have to get the network. Mm. Same with all the other three. Time Warner, which was in Louisville at the time. I think it's Spectrum now. I have no idea. Cox, I think, is in South Carolina. Mm. So, you know, you really put the brace on the cable providers. I think after, like, one day, it was literally one day on the radio in Louisville of talking about, oh my God, can you believe it? We got over it.
But I go back to what you just said.
We got over it.
You got your butts handed to you, but you didn't care because it was Kentucky.
No.
That's
I mean, I feel.
Care, that's how I feel about Tennessee, Alabama.
That's how you feel like you want them to play the game even though Alabama spanks Tennessee every year.
Yes.
Right. My point is that eventually you can get over it. Like, you can get over it. I mean, think about when A&M in Texas was a huge rivalry. It's not anymore. They don't ever play. And they have no interest in playing because A&M left. Missouri and Kansas, huge rivalry. They don't play anymore because Missouri left. And so, like, I think that you got to understand, like, these rivalries in college football, these grand traditions are totally fickle. I have a coach just texted me and said, college football as we know it is done. Get over it. Texas and Oklahoma to the ACC, or to the SEC. ACC needs to get Notre Dame. 5 years from now, you will not recognize this industry, and it will probably be 4 16-team conferences.
Okay.
So the idea, this idea that this is what college football is about, that started to slowly die the day the BCS got invented. Because now we're not having the AP decide the national champion. Now we're having a national championship game. And once you went to 2, you probably was inevitable you were going to go to 4. Once you went to 4, didn't we all know when they went to 4 it was probably going to go to 8?
I kind of assumed.
That
I didn't think it would jump to 12 so quickly.
Right. I mean, the shocker is not that it expanded. The shocker is that it went to 12.
To 12.
But that's college football as we know. It's over. Name, image, and likeness. The players are getting paid. It's over. Everything that your old P-Pop that you used to watch Auburn games with every Saturday, and you'd sit there over at Granny's house, and she'd make you nice ice hot or ice, nice warm cocoa, and you'd sit there and you'd root on the Bulldogs or the Tigers or War Eagle or the Tide.
Okay,
or the Vols.
All right, get on with
everything that your me mom and your pop loved about college football, the grand tradition. It's over. It's over. And the day it ended is the day that TV started calling the shots, which is fine because everybody wants more money. But there are a lot of industries where once we let somebody else start calling the shots, it's over. And this is what happened. It's like, you know, Star Wars, for example. They could make a Star Wars movie every year and they'd rake in billions of dollars, right? Star Wars is the popularity of Star Wars. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. The popularity of Star Wars is unbelievable. Fair?
Yes.
So George Lucas makes three movies in the 70s and they blow up the box office. He remasters them. They put them back in theaters and they blow up the box office. But he's not making new movies all the time. Then he makes three more new movies. They blow up the box office. Then he sells Star Wars to Disney. Disney's putting out a new movie every year. Once Disney starts calling the shots on Star Wars, the traditional George Lucas, that's over. Disney's putting out a new movie every year. They launched a streaming service, and one of the highlights of the streaming service, Disney Plus, is our new Star Wars show, The Mandalorian. That's what they're doing. Like, they are the Baby Yoda stuff. The t-shirts and the hats and that's all. It's become totally commercialized. Now, again, I'm not like a Star Wars guy. I mean, I've seen Star Wars. I'm not like a huge Star Wars fan. But like the commercialization of it, now that Disney owns it, only is what, times 1 billion?
Yeah.
And that's what's happened with college football. College football, again, college football was built on tradition. College football was built on the grandiose nature of this is how we play it in the South in our school. And now the players are getting paid. You got West Virginia in the Big 12. You got Louisville on the Atlantic coast when it's in the middle of Kentucky. We've got teams in the Southeastern Conference in Missouri. You got Utah in the Pacific 12. I mean, at this point, like, it's all gone anyways. I mean, it's the only thing still there is the Rose Bowl, and that the Rose Bowl wants to be played on January 1st at like 5 o'clock every single year, and I don't think that tradition's going to last either. College football, it's not the same now. And if anybody convinces you that it's going to be the same going forward, I don't know how you could believe it. A 12-team playoff, the players are getting paid, and now we're putting Texas into the Southeastern Conference? Whoa. What's next?
One texter texts in and says, Vanderbilt isn't going to win regardless of conference alignment. Vandy should be in favor of any deal that generates additional revenue.
What do they do with the revenue? Like, I do wonder what Vanderbilt's position on all of this is. Because if Vanderbilt gets the money and gets their rear end smacked by Alabama every year, you could convince me that Vanderbilt would ultimately be okay with it. Like, I don't think Tennessee's cool with, okay, Texas and Oklahoma come to the conference, and now we add a game with Auburn every year. I don't think Tennessee'd be okay with that. But Vanderbilt, you play Alabama once a year, you get your rear end smacked. You know, maybe it all equals out because you're not playing Florida or Georgia
right,
as much as you had played them before. So how much of a difference does it make? And then I think that leads me to question, like, how much does Vanderbilt care? On the surface, the SEC Network pod that said Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. I know Tennessee's voting against that. I think Vandy's voting against that. We already know Missouri and A&M are against it. So then that's a non-starter. Get back to the drawing board. Come up with something else. Maybe you can convince Vanderbilt that it's all fine and dandy. And if you convince them that it's fine and dandy, then you don't have a fourth team. And in goes Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I wouldn't see any, unless it was that same play of the in-state things, which is a gentleman's agreement. It is an unwritten agreement. So, I mean, nobody has really any loyalty to that. But I think the only thing, if Vanderbilt or Tennessee can be convinced to vote for this, the only thing that would keep Texas and Oklahoma out would be the in-state agreements, whether Texas A&M says no or whether Florida and South Carolina would vote towards Texas A&M's way, so Clemson and Florida State don't enter the conference.
Okay, give me that gentleman's agreement, that unwritten rule. Give that to me again.
Okay.
Because what was it? The former A&M president. So
yes,
the guy who was in charge of A&M when they entered the SEC. Now, remember that In this case, most of these people aren't the same. So Nick Zeppos was at Vanderbilt. He's not there anymore. Gosh, why can't I remember the guy's name? He's been at Tennessee for forever. He was terrible for football. He's not there anymore. There have been a lot of changes at the president position all throughout the SEC. And obviously Mike Slive is no longer with us, the then commissioner. But what was that gentleman's agreement?
So it says if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC, it would break a longstanding gentleman's agreement between SEC schools that gives conference members absolute veto power over the addition of another school from their state. Arbo and Lofton said, there's this understanding among the membership, at least it was 10 years ago when Texas A&M entered the SEC, that you do not admit a school from the same state as a member school unless that member school is okay with it. So you can, let's use Texas and Texas A&M, for example. If Texas wants to join the SEC, this understanding that was made understanding in 2011 would allow Texas A&M absolute veto power to say no to Texas because that is an in-state school. So Florida could have absolute power to say no to UCF or Florida State.
I think then you could put Florida on the list of teams that might be out on this.
South Carolina as well.
See, I think South Carolina is kind of hard because I don't think South Carolina would be worried about the Citadel joining, and I don't think that they would. I don't think they're worried about the ACC. Like, I don't think they're worried about Clemson losing their spot in the ACC. So maybe South Carolina, if Clemson joins, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, I don't think Florida wants one of those little brother Florida schools getting in there.
No.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline. We'll do that coming up next. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.